he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning live edition of the Best Stocks Now show on this October the 16th. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and Barry is traveling today, and I'll be joining him a little bit later today. We have got a good start to the market this morning, a very good start, and we also have a big earnings week on tap. 55 S&P 500 companies will report earnings this week, and another five Dow Jones Industrial Average components will report earnings. And right now the Dow is up 201 points. We'll take it. It's at 33,871. That's 60 basis points to the upside on that Dow so far. The S&P is also up 60 basis points. It's up 26 points to 43.54. Believe it or not, we close in on the end of the year. 2.5 months left. 10 weeks left in the year. This earnings season is very important that we're in right now. The NASDAQ is doing best of all. It's up 72 basis points. It's up 94 points, 13,501. The NASDAQ has been the place to be in 2023. Small caps up 90 basis points. Crude oil down 45 cents. And the 10-year is up 9 basis points. That's not good, to 4.72%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'll be doing the show without Barry here today. He is traveling to Detroit, the Detroit area, to meet. We'll be meeting this week. I'll be traveling a little bit later today and working on the plane. And, you know, it's nice. I love all the modern technology we have nowadays. I can sit there with my laptop, get on the internet, and look at stock charts to pass the time while I'm flying to Michigan. And I look forward to meeting with the folks tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. We have a very good start to the week so far. How did we finish last week? Kind of dicey, you know. We didn't really know if anything would happen over the weekend. I would just say that nothing big other than, you know, Israel continues to mount its troops on the border, ready for a ground invasion. I got to believe there's some last-minute negotiations taking place to try to ward that invasion off. Obviously, the hostages are in the middle. Rooting out Hamas from the Gaza Strip, separating them from the Palestinians. I'm not quite sure how they're going to do that. How do they know the difference between a Hamas and a Palestinian? Maybe they know. Maybe they have intel on that. But it's not going to be pretty. And in the meantime, it's kind of status quo right now. But something going to give here sometime early this week, I would think. And in the meantime, the market seems to shrug it off. The NASDAQ was down 167 on Friday. There was a flight to safety. There was a big uptick in, or a big downtick in the earnings, in interest rates on Friday in a move to safety. And oil was up $4 per barrel on Friday, closing at $87.72. And gold also made a big move on Friday. It was up, I think, $70 or $80 per ounce to $19.46 as it closes in on 2000. And then we had some bank earnings on Friday, and they were good. The bank earnings came in strong. And then we had the earnings from a Dow component, United Healthcare, a non-bank stock, and it had a very good earnings report. So that's where we begin a new week. We've had back-to-back weekly gains for the S&P 500. We've got 10 weeks left to go. I would say the only bad news that impacted the market in a negative way last week from the a macroeconomic point of view would be the jobless claims that came in Thursday and the CPI report that was the same as the previous month. In other words, there was no cooling off, but we're down to 3.6% with that inflation rate. So the market didn't like the CPI number, nor did it like the initial jobless claims, which remained very low. I know the market's cheering for layoffs. That's not a good thing, but that's how the markets work. And that's one of the stickiest areas of inflation right now is the jobs market. All right. Well, we have a big week of earnings coming up this week. And we'll go through some of that. Last week it was J.P. Morgan, it was Citigroup, it was Wells Fargo, it was United Healthcare, it was Pepsi. We've had one report so far today. It was Schwab, S-C-H-W, which is where we hold. They're the custodian of our clients' accounts. That word custodian, very important. They safeguard your money there. So nothing like a Bernie Madoff can happen where he safeguarded your money. He was his own custodian. It's very important to have a custodian involved. Schwab's probably the biggest one now. Schwab is up 5% this morning. You know, here we go again. We've had nothing but good earnings reports so far. And Schwab is adding to that. Schwab, obviously, a financial. That's a good report for Schwab. We have a change to the S&P 500 today. They finally approved the Activision-Microsoft deal. And a big mover now as a member of the S&P 500, which is quite a feather in its cap. Lululemon. Hey, my hat is off to Lululemon. That is quite an accomplishment to make it into the S&P 500. Lululemon is up $35 per share or 9.2% today. Why did they go up when they're added to the S&P 500? Well, that's because the index funds and a lot of, the ones that mimic index funds or try to track index funds, they have to add. And S&P 500 is the index that everybody watches. So that's a big move there today for Lululemon, which replaces ATVI, Activision Blizzard. Earnings season approaches for the Detroit automakers. That's where we're headed this week. The UAW headwinds are still in play. And I talked to someone yesterday at church. I said, I'm headed for Detroit this week. He said, what are you going to do? Try to solve that UAW? No, I'm just meeting with folks, regular folks like me, talking about portfolios and whatnot. But you know what? They're just not making any progress there. I don't think that the car makers really have that much to give. I don't think they can go too far because, you know, it's a tough business right now, and they're trying to go to the electric batteries, and there's a lot of unknowns out there right now. The supply chains are still a bit difficult. So both sides have pretty much their feet in the sand right now, and not much progress is being made right now. Okay, this week of earnings today, or actually tomorrow, October 17th, Bank of America will report. Well, the other three did pretty good. Wells Fargo, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup. I would expect Bank of America, but you never know. I don't know. Moynihan has not been a very good CEO, in my opinion, at Bank of America. Tesla. Everything will come to a halt on Wednesday. No, I'm just kidding. But Tesla has become the biggest earnings report. Probably it and NVIDIA. Apple are probably the big ones. But I think Tesla is even the biggest one right now, one of the most anticipated reports. They're slated to disclose their Q3 earnings after the closing bell on Wednesday. the EV giant delivered 435,059 cars during Q3. Man, I remember when just a few were rolling off the assembly line. 435,000 cars during the third quarter of 2023. The question is, how much did they make? The consensus EPS estimate is 75 cents, okay? That's the number. The consensus revenue estimate, which is usually pretty easy to predict. You just take their car sales and multiply it. $24.2 billion is what Tesla is expected to report, and that's on Wednesday. When we come back, I want to go through the rest of the companies other than non-Tesla stocks reporting this week. This is Bill Gutterson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show on this Monday, October the 16th. 55 companies reporting earnings. NASDAQ up 128 right now. Boy, I haven't had a chance to look inside underneath that number to see which of those 100 components are moving the NASDAQ, but that's a good move right there. The Dow is up 195 right now. Big Tech was not participating when the market opened. Maybe Big Tech is starting to join into the party here to open this week. Okay, so we mentioned Tesla. Tesla will report, all eyes on Tesla, will report on Tuesday. Okay, then after that, let's go to the non-Tesla stocks that will report earnings this week, just so we can be prepared. Let's see. We've got Bank of America. We talked about that. We've got Albertsons, Goldman Sachs, Johnson & Johnson, Lockheed Martin, United Airlines. Ever hear of any of those? Actually, that's Tuesday. Tesla's Wednesday. The non-Tesla companies on Wednesday, Abbott Labs, ASML, a very, very important semiconductor stock, Morgan Stanley, Procter & Gamble, Travelers, Winnebago, Alcoa, Las Vegas Sands, Lam Research, Netflix. On Thursday, all hands on deck for AT&T's earnings. It's been a non-growth company for years now. I say kick it out of the Dow. Alaska Air will report on Thursday. American Airlines, Blackstone, Freeport-McMoRan, Union Pacific. On Friday, Schlumberger, which is now called, I think, SLB, Schlumberger Limited, that's the biggest oil services company in the world. It's been doing very well recently. American Express will report on Friday. Comerica, Regions Financial, and some others. So, very big week. Now, so far this year, we have 6% of the S&P 500 that have, or so far this quarter, we have had 6% of the companies reporting actual results. 84% of the companies reporting have reported a positive EPS surprise. That's way above normal, but it's a small sampling. But suffice it to say, we're off to a very good start. And, you know, I mean, over the last 3 months, we've had a pretty stiff correction in the market. We've had a big jolt higher in interest rates, which made the P.E. multiples on stocks contract. We've had a lot of reverberations and gyrations and whiplash, whipsaw-type action here over the last 5-6 weeks. And I always say, you know, eventually the market's going to come back with a focus on earnings. That's the E in the P.E. ratio and the forward P.E. ratio That's what's driven the market since 2009 to new highs and record earnings. And I published my chart once again in last week's newsletter. If you didn't get the newsletter, right on front, the front page article, I made the macro outlook report available to all. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. 6% report so far, 84% have beat their earnings estimates, 66% have beat their sales estimates. Right now, the number we're expecting, $56.10. So look, if you annualize that, we're at about $225 per year now in earnings for the S&P 500. Where were we at in 2009? $60 per share. So when earnings go from $60 per share, S&P 500, and they go up every year, except for a couple of years, you had the COVID year in there, 2020. But for the most part, it's been a steady climb in earnings. And the number that we expect this year is about $222 per share. That'll be a record earnings number. Next year, we're at around $245 per share in expectations, which are subject to change. And the year after that, about $270 in earnings estimates. That, more than anything, has driven the market to new highs since 2009. That's the last real recession that we had. That was called the Great Recession. That was the one caused by the problems in the mortgage market and in the housing market, and many of the banks holding those bad loans that had to be saved by the U.S. government through the TARP loans, the TARP funds. All right, we have Beyond Tech, a big warning today. I think they're still in the S&P 500. They made it very quickly. Maybe it wasn't Beyond Tech. It was the one that they're associated with that made the other COVID drug. But Beyond Tech is going to write off almost $1 billion in vaccine that never got sold. And Pfizer, I also saw them with a big warning today, and things just aren't going well at Pfizer. I mean, they were in the right place at the right time during the COVID, but they haven't come up with much lately. Okay, now, recession, rising interest rates, soft landing, hard landing. Well, UBS is calling it a softish landing. And in the weekly articles I've been writing here recently, I've been saying actually for a few months now, maybe several months, that I believe we're on track for a soft landing, which means the rising interest rates, yes, they've affected the economy, yes, they've cooled things off, and yes, they caused have also brought down inflation, but it doesn't seem to have eaten into the economy in any significant way yet that we can see. The jobs would be the number one proof of that, the number one piece of evidence, as you look at the jobs creation report, which was 360,000 at this most recent jobs report, and you look at the weekly jobless claims, the economy, the jobs market remains resilient. And UBS agrees with me. I agree with them. There's a couple, there's still some out there, quite a few actually, that say a soft landing is possible. They see economic growth slowing in the upcoming months, but stocks rising next year. Okay, let me see if they've got a target price out. Yes, UBS is trimmed. It's 2024, next year, S&P 500, this is June of next year, they've trimmed their price target on the S&P 500 from 4,700 to 4,500. And, of course, we're at about 4,350 right now. My price target, I published it again, and I revised it because we're in earnings season. And, again, that's in the newsletter, where you get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Okay, when we come back, China's been really, really quiet recently. And we've got some other reports that are very important on the economy right now. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Wow, what got into the market all of a sudden? Look at this. The Dow is now up 339 points. It's up 1% now. The NASDAQ is now up 162 points. It's up 1.2%. And the S&P is up 1.1%. I said it would come back to earnings, and I've put my neck on the line with several recent articles in Seeking Alpha. They haven't been very popular. I haven't had a lot of people that agreed with me on those articles, but I'd rather be right than popular. And being popular can cost you sometimes if you go with the crowd. The crowd is usually not right. Earnings are usually right. And I think basing your market forecast based on earnings instead of your gut feel or, you know, which way the wind blows and things like that, I just think earnings are something you can sink your teeth into. They're tangible. All right, now let's take a look at what else. There's a lot happening here today. Apple slips as Jefferies Research says iPhone 15 seeing weakness in China. Well, you know, the i15 is not exact, or the Apple version 15 is not exactly a game changer. And the stock is down today a little bit. It's a pretty dull chart also on Apple. And Apple has slowed down in their growth considerably. And there's a lot of people starting to take note of that. The latest one here is Jefferies. Okay, Lilly. Eli's coming. Eli Lilly and the weight loss drugs continue to be, to me, the story, other than AI, of 2023. Lilly reports full phase 3 trial data of Mounjaro for weight loss. Okay, Mounjaro has not been approved yet for weight loss, but doctors are able to prescribe it for weight loss, and it should get an approval before now and the end of the year is the expectations. From what I understand, the FDA was just waiting to see this the phase 3 trial data, and the data is excellent. You know, you take the placebo, you're not going to lose any weight taking a placebo. But those that took the Mounjaro drug, and by the way, from what I understand, it's in there's supply now of Mounjaro. For a while, there was a shortage of the drug. The 84 week study, people that were on it for 84 weeks lost 1/4 of their body weight. The average body weight of people in the study was 240 pounds. So the average person lost 64 pounds over 84 weeks. That's a year and a half. Wow, that's a lot. Take that, Jenny Craig, you know. I mean, this is pretty remarkable. I would also say this. You know, I got a couple of friends that are on the drug or have been on the drug. I have a friend that's been on it. Maybe he was in the study. I don't know, because he's been on it for about 84 weeks. He's lost 70 pounds, and I talked to him at length yesterday. And I said, number one, at some point, I'm sure you're going to quit taking the drug. And he says, yes. And I said, you know, what have there been any studies done on, do you all of a sudden, do you have this massive appetite and gain? No, he says, because during that period of time, I mean, you change a lot of your habits. You know, the desire to go back to your old ways is definitely tempered. He's going to start trailing off because he does not want to lose any more weight. He's met his goal of what he wanted to do. Okay, then I asked him, I said, what about, like, mental acuity and sharp? He says, I've never been sharper. It's done nothing at all to that. Okay, and then I also asked him about energy. He says, well, how do you feel when you lose 20 pounds or 15 pounds? You feel a whole lot better. You've got more energy. He says it's been wonderful for me. So anyways, I'm giving you one example. Now, from what I understand, too, there's a lot of online telehealth places that supposedly are prescribing Mounjaro or Wegovy, which is Novo Nordisk, and they're compounding them. They're making knockoffs of the drug, and I suppose they work just the same. But it's his opinion that people should stick with the Wegovy or the Mounjaro and shy away from the knockoff drug. So, anyways, that's my boots on the ground experience, and from talking to people that have been on it, there's tremendous demand for it. Insurance will not cover it. Medicare will never cover it. He said it would break Medicare. It costs he pays $1,000 a month for his prescription because the healthcare right now does not cover it. But this is a major thing, and, you know, we talked about the healthcare system here in America, and it's my observation that the number one problem we have in America is obesity, he said, by far. And he's been in the biotech industry and in the drug industry his entire life, been a CEO of a biotech company. He says, by far, that is our biggest problem. And, you know, we've said it before. If we could get a handle on that, you'd think it would solve a lot of heart issues, a lot of diabetes issues, stress on joints, ankles, knees, elbow, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So anyways, that's my latest update on Lilly. Lilly's news last week was the drug was showing success for kidney failure, and you saw all the dialysis stocks sell off last week. And you're also starting to see some of the diabetes stocks sell off. The diabetes instrument companies like Dexcom and the two other ones. But from what I understand, it's not really having much of an impact yet there, the diabetes device market. I've owned all of those in the past, Tandem, Dexcom, one of the best stocks we ever found, and Insulet so far. But still, I don't know, I think there's a cloud hanging over them. Another article I read this morning, you got to get a whole new wardrobe. You got to go out buy new suit, new pants, new everything. And there's one report out today. Who's this from? Bank of America. But it says the impact of those regarding apparel retail. Bank of America's Lorraine Hutchinson said the medications could be a boon to the industry, as it could spur a wardrobe replacement cycle. How about that? So anyways, there's another tentacle out there. Reaching out, and we've also seen it in other areas. We know that Walmart says it's impacting them, and it goes on and on and on. Kathy Wood's ARK nears multi-month lows. Investors have taken $500 million out of her fund, ARK, A-R-K-K, since its 2023 peak. Well, I told you it went on a 21% sell-off in 6 weeks. You've got to have a stomach made of steel or iron to own these stocks that are so much influenced and react so quickly to rising interest rates. Now, if interest rates start falling, that's going to put wind at her back. If we continue in this high interest rate environment, of course, her stuff was down 50 to 60% last year. It continues to be a tough time over at ARK Funds. Novo Nordisk, which is the other player, NVO, raises their 2023 guidance to reflect higher GLP-1, otherwise known as weight loss, sales. So there's a company. It's always good to guide higher. Bank of America, they're pretty busy today. They say NVIDIA is speeding up its pace of product releases, and it strengthens its position against its competitors. And I agree. And I still consider NVIDIA to be one of the best stocks in the entire stock market. NVIDIA is up $4.63, or 1% right now. When we come back, I want to look underneath these indexes to see which individual stocks are leading the charge today. We'll be right back. The wrong call. Hit us in a bad place. And I wonder what's good for. I've been in a red place. You got to go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunnarsson. Let's look at the Dow. This is my favorite part of the show, looking underneath the surface of the market, okay? On the surface of the market, the Dow is up 362 points, or 1.09%. Here's what's doing it. Here are the stocks that are leading the way in the Dow Jones. Then we'll go to the S&P and the NASDAQ. Believe it or not, Pfizer. There must have been an upgrade or some news there. Pfizer is up 5% today. Wow, that stock has been in a tailspin all year. You know, the P.E. ratio on Pfizer right now is 6. So if you believe Pfizer's got something in their pipeline, you're getting a 4.9% yield in Pfizer right now, and a very low P.E. ratio. Let's just see what the Best Stocks Now app.com says. We'll be releasing that this week. Flipping the switch to the new version, 2.0, 2.3.0 maybe, I don't know. Pfizer I have with 73% upside potential. I like 75 to 80. I don't have a lot of faith in Pfizer, to be honest with you. The stock is down 37% so far this year. I'm sure this is a bargain play by value investors, seemingly a bargain play. But it's the leader right now in the Dow. Nike's up 2.3%. Will Mongero hurt Nike? No, I guess not. Microsoft is up 2.2%. It's having a good day. They finally got their Activision deal behind them. Salesforce is up 2.2%. Intel's up 2%. Travelers is up 2%. Caterpillar up 2%. Every stock up in the Dow except Apple, Boeing, and Walgreens. Okay, S&P 500. This is the one that most people deem as the index to watch, the index to beat. The S&P 500 earnings is what the market trades off of. Schwab, leader, best stock today. Hey, it's good. That's our custodian. I'll give you a little confidence there. 6% Schwab today. Kohl's up 5.5. I don't have a lot of faith in Kohl's, to be honest with you. Pfizer's up 5.1. A railroad, Norfolk Southern, up 4.4. Old Dominion Freight Lines up 4.3. J.B. Hunt up 4.0. I guess maybe oil prices are dropping today. Dexcom up 3.9. These are the leaders in the S&P 500. Ross Stores up 3.7. What I do see is a lack, really, of the big tech stocks. Arista, which is a good AI stock, it's up 3.5%. Raymond James up 3.4%. Those are the leaders in the S&P 500. On the downside, Moderna, that's the one I was trying to think of. They're the ones that went into the S&P 500. From IPO to S&P 500, of course, they went public either the year of or the year before COVID. They were in the right place at the right time, and they zoomed into the S&P 500, but they've been under heavy pressure because the vaccine drugs are not as popular, and it's hitting a new 52-week low, is Moderna. Now let's look at the NASDAQ. Not seeing the big tech stocks, really, other than Microsoft. The chip stocks definitely not participating. There was news on the chip stocks that the U.S. is going to get down to the more into the, get more granular on the rules of what China can have and what they can't have. And of course, this is going to impact NVIDIA. It's going to impact ASM. It's going to impact AMD, etc. It's been 1 year. It's this 1 year anniversary, and they announced today that they're going to review it. And if anything, get tougher on China. Let's see, the NASDAQ, J.B. Hunt, the leader in the NASDAQ. That doesn't happen very many times, a trucking company. Ross Stores up 3.7. Marriott up 2.7. Microsoft up 2.2. Let's see what else. Mondelez, yeah, that's just a lack. Intel up 2. Broadcom up 1.9. Couple chip stocks there. And Qualcomm up 1.8. On the downside in the NASDAQ, let's see if anybody's getting hurt too badly today. Henry Schein, that's a dental supply stock, down 2.5. Walgreens down 1.3. Apple is also down today. So there you go. It's a pretty good start to the market today. Good start to a new week. Last week was the first big week of earnings season. I would call it a smashing success, even though only 6% of those 500 stocks have reported so far. Another 55 will report this week, so we're going to have a much better handle on not only this year's earnings, but 2024 and 2025, believe it or not. That's right. The estimates are out there. At least it's a starting point, $270 per share in earnings in 2025, $245 in earnings next year. This is for the aggregate S&P 500, and somewhere in the 220 range this year. And if you go back to 2009, you see that low in earnings. You also see the low in the S&P 500 at about 660. Where are we today in the S&P 500? Well, we've come a long ways in the S&P 500. We're at 4350, from 600 to 4350. And in the meantime, earnings have gone from $60 per share to expectations of $240 per share. Next year, we've also had an expansion in the multiple along the way, because in 2009, I think the multiple on the S&P got down to 9 or 10, somewhere in there, when it's averaged about 17, 18 over the years. So we're back to a normal multiple right now. Not a cheap one, not an expensive one. We got overdone on the upside. We got up to 22.5%. Right now, we're sitting at about 18 times forward earnings. All right, it's all about stock selection right now. I'm not a big fan of ETFs. I think there's a lot of bad stocks in ETFs. Let's eliminate the bad stocks in the ETFs and focus on the good stocks in the ETFs. For instance, the drug ETFs got Moderna in it, which is hitting new lows, and it's got Lilly in it, which is hitting new highs. Why do I want to own both those stocks in an ETF? I would rather try to narrow down my focus to the best stocks in the ETFs. All right, if you'd like to talk to us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Get 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter. It's an education in and of itself. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade.
Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.